In 1925, it was clear that fascism and totalitarianism were real. 7 years after the armistice that brought the fighting of World War I to a stop, the disputes and grievances that gave rise to that war had not been addressed, much less resolved. Even though some 20 million people had died in the Great War, nothing had truly been settled. In such a political climate and milieu, authoritarianism flourished. Many heads of state, both leaders who were elected and those who led uprisings to claim power, sought to gain and to secure that power by fanning the flames of fear and hatred of one people and nation and ethnic group for another. Benito Mussolini was in power in Italy. Fascism was on the rise in Spain under a military dictatorship before that country's civil war. Communist Russia was in transition and tilting toward totalitarianism. Economic decline and a series of rebellions brewed in Germany, setting the stage a few years later for one Adolf Hitler. And in 1925, in the midst of that political climate and milieu, Pope Pius XI, as head of the Roman Catholic Church, made a bold, prophetic, theological move. He declared that beginning that year, the last Sunday in October, would be a new feast, the Feast of Christ the King. The message was pointed, needed, and clear. The sovereign of those who are Christians is not their head of state or leader of government, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ. The first allegiance of Christians in any age and every place is not to their head of state or to their country, but to their Savior. Somebody say amen. Amen. Later in the 20th century, after some changes to the church calendar, this new feast was moved to the last Sunday in the season after Pentecost, the last Sunday in ordinary time. And there it remains, on the last Sunday of the church year, which is today. Since 1925, the Roman Catholic Church, followed by many Christian communions, including ours, have observed this Sunday as the Feast of Christ the King, Christ in Majesty, the reign of Christ. It is also known as the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Isn't that splendid? On this day, we remind ourselves and the world that it is the reign of Christ that inspires our loyalty and devotion above and beyond any other. Heads of state, whether they seized power or were or elected or coronated, do not merit our highest devotion. Nations and regions, whether those we are born into or those we moved to, cannot command our best love. Parents and families, whether by birth, marriage, adoption, or choice, are not the ultimate focus of our concern. For those of us who have been baptized into Christ's body, the church, nothing and no one can or should be put in the place of God in Christ, who is our ultimate horizon, our ground of being, our beginning and our end. The reign of this divine sovereign is a reign of power. It is. But it is power for, and power with, and power to. It is not power over, power to oppress, power to crush, power to annihilate. The reign of Christ as sovereign is a realm and rule of loving service in the name of Christ, for the sake of the world God so loves. In 1925, Pope Pius XI created the Feast of Christ the King. The following spring, in 1926, on April 21st, a Wednesday, a girl was born in London. When she was 10, her uncle stepped down from his position, and her father took his place, and she became heir to the British throne. Her name was Elizabeth. You might have heard of her. On her 21st birthday in 1947, this future monarch addressed the world via radio, saying, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong." In his homily at her state funeral on September 19th, Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby recalled her promise to the Commonwealth at age 21, remarking, "Rarely has such a promise been so well kept." Her late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II was the longest lived British monarch in history. She died at age 96 and some 5 months. She was also the longest serving British monarch. She was sovereign for 70 years and 214 days. Certainly, long life and overall good health have much to commend them. But if all Queen Elizabeth II had done was live for the better part of a century and then died, I doubt most of the world would have come to a stop for her funeral. This is not to say that she was a perfect person, nor is it to say that many nations of the world are not still struggling to overcome the negative effects of empire and colonialism, of which they and she and we are all the heirs. But it is to say that in her person, Queen Elizabeth II was clear on her purpose and her allegiance. And on this day, when we celebrate the necessity and joy of giving our devotion to our true sovereign, it's worth noting that she never wavered concerning who was hers. As Archbishop Justin also noted in his funeral sermon, quote, "In 1953, the Queen began her coronation with silent prayer just there at the high altar in Westminster Abbey. Her allegiance to God was given before any person gave allegiance to her. Her service to so many people in this nation, the Commonwealth, and the world had its foundation in her following Christ, God Himself, who said that He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. End quote. Her late Majesty Elizabeth II was defender of the faith and supreme governor of the Church of England. These are titles. But she not only held these titles, she was also a practitioner of the faith and an active Anglican Christian. It came through quite clearly in her annual Christmas addresses. Her faith was not pretentious, but it was genuine. On Christmas Day 2012, she said, "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent His only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ." End quote. The reign of Christ as sovereign is a realm and rule of loving service, of placing the common good, the healing of the nations, and the repair of the world before the wealth or success or profit or fame or comfort of any one person or group or faction or party or nation. We live in that reign of Christ. We live for that reign of Christ. We live by the power of that reign of Christ. We live in expectation of that reign of Christ coming in fullness, in due course. And so we can say, "Dying, You destroyed our death. Rising, You restored our life. Christ Jesus, sovereign of the universe, come again in glory." Amen.